please continue to pray. Look at these verses with me, if you will, this morning from the 20th chapter of Revelation. And I want to read a few verses beginning with verse 11. Revelation chapter 20, beginning with verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. As I begin today, I sat down in my study and I began to read in the scriptures something that I had read many, many times. I sat down and I began to read in the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, that gives us the account about the rich man and the beggar Lazarus. And when I began to read that, I began to think about it, and I began to feel a great pain down in my soul. I began to ponder the fact that there's people that are already in hell, and we can't do anything for them, and God's not going to. That people are already experiencing the torments of that place. And I begin to think about those that sit among us. We see their faces. We know them. We've talked with them. Lost friend, I begin to think about you and the fact that you, in your lost condition, stand before God condemned already. That's what the Bible says. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. If you're lost and in your sins, you are presently under that condemnation. I thought about how that today, while we are here today in this service, you know, sometimes it's not difficult to lose sight of reality. There are realities around us that sometimes we lose sight of them. But I thought about today that while we are here in this service, throughout this world that we live in, there are going to be people leave the world today. They're going to die today. Some of them may be laying in a hospital somewhere anticipating that that time is close. Some that will just be going about their day today, not thinking anything at all about it, and they'll die today. That's going to happen. Death never takes a holiday. It never takes a day off. And we cannot change the fact that we are all facing it. You know, there's a lot of things in life that we might be able to make decisions about things to alter the course of something, but we cannot do anything about the fact that we are going to depart this world. We can't stop it, no matter what we do or no matter how much that you may desire it, no matter how much that you may desire to stay here, you cannot do it. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 8 and 8, it's recorded, he said, there is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war. When God calls your spirit from your body, when God calls you into death and calls your spirit to separate from your body, you are not going to have the power to retain it. You're not going to have the ability to retain it. It's going to be just exactly like Job said it was going to be. God is going to call and you are going to answer. Every one of us, when God makes that call to us, we are going to answer. There's nothing that the human race can do to change the fact that we are going to leave time and that we are going to go and dwell in eternity. Every one of us, all of us that are seated here today in this assembly, and every person in the world, we are all on our way out. We're on a journey. We are on a swift journey through time, and it's not going to last very long for any of us. James said that our life, and listen, sometimes this scripture gets misquoted. James did not say that our life is as a vapor. You read it, James said our life is a vapor. It is a vapor that appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. We're not here long. Nobody is here very long. And we're going to all leave time and we're going to go and we're going to dwell in eternity. I thought about, honestly, lost friend, and I pray today that you will think about it. I spent time thinking about how frail that people really are, and how quickly that people can be gone from this world. Did you know it only takes, I wouldn't even know how to measure it in time, to say a second or a part of a second, or I wouldn't even know how to measure it, but I know that all it takes to be in time one moment and in eternity the next moment, all that it takes is the absence of one breath and you're gone. That's how frail that we are. That's what our life here in this world hinges upon is that breath that comes in and out of these bodies, and that all that is necessary in order for us to die and leave this world is that we come to the point where we draw the last breath, and that's it. So eternity truly is only a breath away. And I hope today that you understand that God is in control of every breath. He giveth life and breath to all. And how many times that you're going to breathe, and how many years that you are going to live, and how many opportunities that you are going to have to make things right between you and God, only God knows. Only God knows the number of steps that you're going to have here in this world. Only God has that knowledge. We can fool ourselves. We can deceive ourselves. And we can hang on to a false presumption. And we can assume that we're going to live here for many years to come. You know, you could look at yourself today and you could say, I'm healthy. I've been to the doctor and I got a good report. And the doctor told me that, I've got many good years ahead. I want to tell you something. He doesn't know. He doesn't know. Did you know that there are people that grab on to that false sense of security? And they think that because they're healthy and the doctors can't find anything wrong with them, and they just think, well, you know, I've got many years ahead. Isn't that what Jesus told us about that man there in that parable in the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Luke? He had stored up all of his goods, and he said, I've got all these goods laid up for many years, and I'll say unto my soul, soul, take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. He was assuming that he had many years ahead, but he didn't. You know what God said? He said, you fool, this night you're going to die. This night your soul shall be required of you. I read this morning on the news, on the news page there on the internet, I read about a runner. Feel bad for his family. I read about a runner that he knew he had something wrong with his heart, but the doctors, you know, had told him that they didn't think it was a bad problem, and they cleared him to run, and he was running. I mean, this man was healthy enough to run marathons, and he was running. And he died. That's reality, isn't it? That is reality. I remember years ago, a man that retired from a place that I worked at there in Indianapolis. He started working at the plant at a real young age, and he worked his 30 years there, and he retired, and he had everything planned. He retired at a young age, just the way he planned. During the years that he was working, he bought a property in Florida where he wanted to live when he retired. He got everything set up through the years. He had his property purchased. He had it all planned. He had it all laid out what he was going to do. And the time came that he retired from his job, and he moved. And he went there to Florida where he wanted to relax and retire there on the beach. And he lived less than a year and he died. That's reality. That's life. You can plan all that you want to plan. But I'm going to tell you something today, lost soul. You don't have any idea. No idea. All that we know for sure is that we are going to die. It's appointed unto us. In these scriptures, I don't like to read this. I really don't. I don't like to read about it. I don't get any joy. You know, there are some things in God's Word that I can read about, and man, I can just get happy. I can really rejoice in them. There are things that God can burden my heart with from time to time to preach about that I can get lit up in the Lord and get happy in the Lord and rejoice in preaching them. But I want to tell you today the thought that I bring before you, I don't enjoy reading it. I don't like to preach it. I don't even like to think about the fact that there is a hell. But there is. And you know what? It ought to be preached. People ought to be told about it. I think oftentimes about when those people came there, when those Pharisees and Sadducees came there to the baptism of John, he asked them the question. He said, "Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Lost friend, I want to tell you today, just as sure as you are sitting here, that there is wrath and destruction that is coming upon your immortal soul if you don't repent before the Lord and trust Him for the salvation of your soul. There is eternal destruction that is facing you, and when that's going to come, I don't know. But I know that for all those that fail to repent of their sins and seek after God and be saved, they're going to face eternal destruction. I'm going to tell you something today. I don't care what anybody else has told you. The Bible's very plain about it. There are no opportunities after this life. They don't exist. There are people that say that you can be, you can make things right with God after you leave this world. Friends, I'm telling you, they didn't get that from the Word of God. The Bible talks about those two men there in the 16th chapter of Luke, and it says that Lazarus died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. It says the rich man died also and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes. Those are the two places that the Bible teaches exist beyond this life, and there is nothing else taught in the Scriptures. God did not teach anything else in His Word. He didn't teach anything about a limbo. He didn't teach anything about a place in between. God taught us in His Word plainly that there's a heaven and there's a hell. There's a heaven to be sought after, there's a heaven to be gained, and there's a hell to be shunned. And you can rest assured today that every time a person draws their last breath and leaves this world, they go to one of those two eternal places. Every time. They're either saved and ready for heaven, or they're not. There's a book of life. The Bible tells us about it. There is a book of life. I don't look at it as being a literal book. I look at it as the fact that God is keeping an accurate record. The Lord knows everyone that belongs to Him. And in that day that we have read about here, when the small and great stand before Him, and those books are open, and the dead begin to be judged out of the books. I believe it's talking about the 66 books. I believe we're going to be judged according to God's holy word. I believe that's what it's having reference to. But it says there is another book was open, which is the book of life. And it says that whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. They were not put somewhere else. until they could make restitution. They were not placed somewhere else until they could make things right with God. In that day when that book of life was open, if they were not found written in the book, they were cast into the lake of fire. Every one of them. I want you to think about it today. If you're here today and you're lost, I want you to think about the awesome reality of it. I want you to think about, the most precious thing that you have is your soul. It's the only thing, friend, that you have that's going to last forever. Boy, I'll tell you what, there's too much time spent on the body and too little care of the soul. I mean, people today have glamorized things to where all they think about is what their body looks like. All they are concerned about is what they look like externally. I mean, you can pile on the makeup and all of those things and take as good a care of the body and make it look as good as you can make it look, and it's still going to die. Too little care for the soul of people. Amen. Too little care. Too little concern. You better be thinking today about your soul. You better be thinking today about what will happen to you. You better be concerned today more than anything about where you're going to be if you breathe your last breath this very moment, where you're going to be. You better be thinking about where you're going to be in eternity far more than where you're going to be in time. You better be thinking about what your standing is with God more so than what your standing is with this world. You better be concerned far more about where your soul is going to spend eternity than what you might do someday as a career down the road. Friend, listen today. You need to give thought to your immortal, eternal soul and where it's going to spend eternity. The lake of fire. Can you imagine? Somewhere right now, somewhere beyond here right now. You can't think about it, you know, the Christian person even. You can't even think about it all the time. If you did, you'd drive yourself mad, wouldn't you? You'd drive yourself insane if you just dwelt on that thought and thought about it all the time. But somewhere beyond this place, somewhere where you and I can't see, it's not visible to the naked eye, but I assure you that beyond this world, there is a lake of fire. There is a literal hell. There is a place that burns with everlasting burnings. There are people that are already there and they cannot get out. There is no escape. They are there. It was made obvious to us, and I want to talk about some things in that 16th chapter of Luke, but one of the things that was made obvious to us in that teaching is that there is no way out. There is absolutely no escape. Once you're there, there's no way out. The Bible says, going back to that, that Lazarus died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died also, and in hell, lift up his eyes. It doesn't even say he lifted up his eyes. It said in hell, he lift up his eyes. I believe there's a significance in that word, that he lift up his eyes. It wasn't just something that he did once. It wasn't past tense. It wasn't that he lifted up his eyes. He lift up his eyes. He's still lifting them up in that place today. His eyes were continually lift up towards heaven. He saw Lazarus. in hell he lift up his eyes, the Bible says, being in torments, and seeth Lazarus afar off. Thank God that the Bible doesn't make any indication. There's nothing in there at all to make us believe that Lazarus saw him. I don't believe he did. I don't believe we will. But that rich man lift up his eyes in hell being in torments, and he saw Lazarus far off, and he began to beg for just enough mercy. He began to beg that he would send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool his tongue. And I want you to notice something in this, that rich man there, when he lift up his eyes in hell, there was a knowledge that he obviously had. There was something that I believe that he knew, because he begged out, he cried out and he begged for mercy, that he might have just a little bit of water. But you won't find in there anywhere that he begged for a way out of hell. He didn't even make that request. He just asked for mercy. He didn't ask that he would be sent. He asked that Lazarus would be sent to warn his brethren. I believe that man had the knowledge that it was too late. I believe he knew that there was no escape. He was well aware that he was there for eternity. I've thought about that at times in so many ways, so many natural ways. I don't have any idea what it would be like. Sadly enough, it's been experienced by people, but I don't have any idea what it would be like to be in a house fire or to be in an industrial fire or something somewhere, and to be in a building, trapped in a fire. Had a first cousin that died that way. I don't have any idea what it would be like to be trapped in a fire and be trying to find your way out and just not able to find the door, just not able to escape. I really don't have any idea how awful that it would be for a person to find themselves in the eternal fire. Living one moment, walking around on the earth one moment, living their life. The next thing they know, surrounded by hell's eternal flames. I think that's what happened to that rich man. Living his life, faring sumptuously every day, partaking of all the goods of this world. Next thing he knew, he lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torments. That's how it happened. We get too settled in this world. We do. We get too settled in this life. You know what, lost friend, I want to tell you something today. The devil would love to have you believe that you've got many, many years ahead. He would love for you to believe today that this thing called salvation is something you can take care of after you get all the other things in life straightened out. That's what he'd love to deceive you with today. He would love today to make you think, well, there's a better time for that. There's a better time down the road. You don't need to worry about that now. You're young. You're healthy. You don't need to concern yourself with those things right now. He'll lie to you. I mean, he'll just flat out lie to you because you don't know. You don't know. In your condition, if you're here today and you're not saved, it doesn't matter how religious you are. You know, oftentimes we get People believe that we believe things that we don't believe. We get sometimes accused of things we don't believe. I guarantee you today, you can go around through the membership of Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church today, and I'll guarantee you that you won't find a member in this church that will tell you that they believe they're on their way to heaven because they're a missionary Baptist. Not one. We believe and know that we're on our way to heaven because we're born again by the Spirit of God. That's the only thing that's going to get us there. Lost friend, that's the only thing that'll get you there. It doesn't matter what religious beliefs or whatever, doesn't make any difference. The only thing that'll get anybody there is being born again by the Spirit of God. That's it. It's all that God will accept. But without it, you're walking in harm's way. You're walking every step you take, you are in danger of the lake of fire. You see, John spoke about a time when death is going to take on a new form. It won't be any longer this death that we know now, the separation of the soul and the body. That type of death will one day be gone. John spoke about the second death. Those cast into the lake of fire, soul and body, to experience eternal death and destruction. The second death. The only way to escape the second death is to be born again. Born from above, born of the Spirit. Brother Ronnie, let's have a song. Lost friend today, listen. Only a breath, only one single breath separates you from eternal destruction and damnation. That's all. Jesus is the way. He is the truth, and He is the life. Thank God that there is a way. Thank God that the Lord made a way for us to escape the destruction and the damnation of hell. But you've got to take advantage of that way while you live and breathe and have the opportunity. Because once we die, all the opportunities are past. When we die, our eternal state is fixed and will remain fixed forever and forever. You have an opportunity now. You have a way to escape the damnation of hell through Jesus Christ. But He's your only hope. Let's stand and sing.